This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 24th, 2016, the fifth Sunday of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Love one another, even as I have loved you. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We love to hear how much Jesus loves us. Starts when we're like in the earliest ages, the Bible studies. Get the little song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Which is really an outstanding, succinct presentation of the gospel message, because it's absolutely true. But as we get older, we need to start to try to think about what is this love with which our Lord loves us. It is absolutely imperative that we know this, or at least start to try to comprehend in some little way how our Lord loves us, because he says in that gospel passage, a new commandment I leave to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. We all get the love part. How did Jesus love us? I mean, it's just not church words. It means something. When he says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you, he wants you to at least cogitate upon how he loved you. How did our Lord Jesus Christ love us? He says this is a new commandment. The way Jesus Christ loved us is something very new. If you really look at the scripture, well, why is it new? Because we're always supposed to love one another. I mean, if you pay attention to your Bible, you hear a lot of people, love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, that's the New Testament commandment. No, it's not. It's in the book of Leviticus. It's when the law is initially laid out. For those of you who like to take notes on things like that, Leviticus 19, 18. I quote, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Old Testament stuff. It's not New Testament. So what does Jesus mean when he says, do something new? Well, I thought that was what it is. I mean, that's what we hear in the summary of the law. Every time we gather together for Mass, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the summary of the law. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. What's this new thing? Have you ever asked yourself that? Have you ever thought about when it says to love one another as I have loved you? What does that entail? Because we've read a couple times today and heard several times, a new commandment I give to you. He does not say, here, let me throw this suggestion out. If you really want to be holy, if you really want to be a hyper-Catholic, love one another. No, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So now we got to start thinking, how did he love us? How did Jesus Christ love us? It's a love that is a truly supernatural thing. It is not a love that we can figure out on our own. No society throughout human history has ever figured out or even probably tried to contemplate how Jesus Christ loved others, and then that they should start setting the pattern and loving people that way. How did Jesus Christ love us? We got to kind of step back and kind of picture the scene in which he gives us this new commandment. And you got to think about, how does it start off? Judas has left the upper room. Judas, the vile betrayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, the demon-possessed traitor. Contrary to what you may hear, from no matter where you hear it, he is not someone for whom you should feel sorry. Demons don't possess people against their will. All right? He was a vile betrayer of our Lord. He should not be thought about sympathetically. He should not be thought about as being the victims of the unmerciful approach of church authorities at the time. He was a vile, demon-possessed traitor. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the manifestation of God's love, said, "Better would that man be if he had not been born." Okay, so if our Lord says that, we shouldn't feel sorry for this guy. All right? Judas leaves the room. He's going to betray him. Our Lord knows this. He looks at his other apostles and he says, "Now the Son of Man is glorified." Well, wasn't he glorified when he ascended into heaven? This is where the ascension starts. This is the first step of the ascension. You don't just automatically get poofed into glorification. You have to earn it. You have to earn it. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, had to earn it to ascend into heaven, to bring flesh where flesh did not exist. Remember that time, heaven, nothing but spirit beings, angels, God, the Trinity. Jesus Christ brings flesh into heaven for the first time. This is the first step of his glorification. And he knows that and he appreciates it. He appreciates that. This is the first characteristic of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ for us. Because the love that he has for us and the love that he wants us to have for one another is, it starts out in your absolute obedience to the will of God, no matter what situation in which you find yourself in this world. We as God's people should understand, and don't ever fall into this one, that, oh, I'm in this position, that couldn't be God's will, then whose is it? You handed yourself over to some abstract fate? It's just fate that put you in some dire position? No. You are God's children. And he does with his children what he will in order that their good may come of that and the good of others around them. That's the way he works. It is his will. I just read something this week, some theologian. It was not God's will that our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. Huh? It's an out-and-out lie. An out-and-out lie. Oh, smart guy. You ever read the Bible? Book of Acts? You know? He fulfilled God's will by dying on the cross. It was his act of obedience. It tells us something about the love that he has for us. He was obedient to God's will, and Jesus Christ owed God nothing. He was God. He is God. He's always been the eternal second son of the Trinity. He's the only begotten son of the Father, through whom he and the Father, the Holy Spirit, proceeds. He's always been like that. It's always been perfect among them. He didn't owe the Father anything. He did it out of love for us, because it had to be done because of us and in spite of us. That's how he loved. I point out relatively regularly that in our human nature, and it's not sinful, we just don't get it. You know, even the most profound positive loves that we have for one another in this world, or for anything, why do you love something? There is generally, I would say almost always, an ulterior motive. There's an ulterior motive to why we love. We get something out of it. Think about it. Marriage relationship. People don't cast their eyes on one another. Oh, never laid eyes on, let's get married. work that way. At least one of the person is, and this is the word, attracted to the other person. Why are they attractive? If nothing else, they look nice and you want to hang around with them. An ulterior motive, and then it grows. I like to hang around this person because they are nice to me. They do that. I feel comfortable. I love that. And it grows and it gets deeper. But there's always an ulterior motive. And again, that sounds crass, but it is true. We get something out of the deal. Something. You know, look at everybody here today. It's a very nice day outside. Probably one of the last few nice days we're going to have. It's going to get real hot here coming up. Yeah, there could be a lot of other things. Why are you here? Because I love Jesus. And I believe that with all my heart that you do. Why do you love Jesus? Is because he's a super nice guy? No. Why do you love Jesus? I mean, seriously, think about it right now. I don't want to hear any answers. I mean, why do you love Jesus? Have you ever thought about why I love Jesus? I'll make it simple. You want to go to heaven? Seriously, are we not here because we want to go to heaven? There's an ulterior motive. We want to go to heaven. And we got to put up with things to get there. Things that he tells us to do. I can guarantee you that if you didn't have to be in church on Sunday on a day like this, if you could go to heaven doing other things, you would not be sitting here listening to me. I'm a penance. I'm a cross you have to bear. Seriously, he gives us his will and he wants us to do something. And when he wants us to do something, we get something out of it. His love, he didn't get anything out of it at all. He owed God nothing and he gets nothing. This place could be empty. This place could be empty right now and I could be sitting up here talking to myself. Makes Mass a little shorter when I don't have to do a homily. If this place was empty, he would no more, he would no less be the Lord of glory, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, seated at the right hand of the Father. If this place was empty, dead, burned down, he is still the living God. Always has been, always will be the living Son of God. Always. He gets nothing out of this deal. If this place was packed to the rim, he would be no more God. He doesn't like get extra God credit, the people he brings in here. Doesn't work like that. He's always God, always perfectly happy. He's in heaven now where we want to go. That's the way it works. He gets nothing out of it. He owed us nothing and gets nothing from us. We got to appreciate that. That sets the stage for understanding how he loved us, because he says that he wants us to love one another as he loves us. He wants us to love one another where we get nothing back out of the deal. He wants us to love one another when it might even be to our detriment, because the last time I looked, he loved us to his detriment. Like I said, he gained nothing out of that. You gained out of that. Not him. Not one little bit. He was perfectly happy in heaven before Bethlehem. And that's what he gets for loving you. And he says, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Now that does not mean go out and get crucified. But in our own way and where we are called, we have to understand that he expects of us. He doesn't suggest, he commands that we love one another as he loved us. Little lesson. You cannot be the measure of that love because you are a human and you are finite. He is not and he is infinite. You cannot be the measure of the love of which our Lord Jesus Christ speaks. Christ is the measure of that love. You got to set your sights on how he loved us. That's how he wants you to love one another. Because when we love one another that way, as it said in the gospel, that's how the world will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another as he has loved you. Tertullian, an early church father, in writing the description of this love that we should have one for another, he actually quotes pagan Roman sources, and they say, see how they love one another. Now, when Tertullian was witness to Christians being turned into lamps for banquets at Roman, they were going out of their way as to how to torture Catholics, throw them to lions, do this with them, do that with them. I mean, they vied one against it. Hey, let's see, how cruel can I be to them? I can be more cruel than that. I can be more cruel than you did. Look at this. Look what I can do to the Catholics. And why these people, these Catholics who are awaiting this fate, were in cages. Other Catholics would come to them with food and give them food. Now, if the Romans arrested those Catholics to throw them to lions, and I'm going to go bring them food anyway, what do you think is going to happen to you? You think they're going to let that pass? Oh, they're in there because they're Catholics. Oh, they're friends bringing them food. Priests and deacons brought the Eucharist to the people in the cages so that they could withstand the temptations that they were going to endure by being thrown to lions and gladiators and all other kind of nifty things like that, set on fire. And they didn't care. I'm going to bring them the Eucharist because I know it will help them. And then they, in turn, got to deal with getting set on fire or thrown to animals to be killed. That's how much they love one another, and that's how the pagans, you know, these guys are goofy. We're killing them right and left. But you can't deny it. Look how much they love one another. That is very attractive. That is something that they just don't get. That's why our Lord wants us to love one another as he loved us. Not as people love one another. Not talking about this human love that you hear all the time. Hey, give them more stuff. Like this commandment goes, love one another as I have loved you. Well, I used to give the guys who's asked on the sidewalk a dollar, but now Jesus said to love them like he loved them. I'll give them five. No, that's not it. It's about giving them something more. It's about giving them Christ. It's more powerful than a miracle if you love one another like that. You know, don't you think it would be kind of cool if Jesus had to say, you know what, these are going to be my people, and I want all the world to know that they're my people unmistakably. When they get baptized, I'm going to give them special abilities, special powers. Okay? Maybe they'll be able to walk on water. Maybe they'll be able to walk into locked rooms like I did. I'll give them that power to be able to do that. Then no one will mistake the fact that they're my people. That's ridiculous. Jesus couldn't do that. He wouldn't do that. Really? Did Peter? Jesus is walking on the water. Peter says, hey, call me. Have me come to you. Come. And what does Peter do? Walks on the water. And Jesus can do it. Peter just asked, and he let him. So he could have done that. But he wanted something more powerful than miracles. Because miracles are like, they can be counterfeited. Moses changed his staff into a snake. The Egyptian demonic magicians, they threw theirs down. They turned into snakes too. And Moses' rod ate theirs, proving something. But they could counterfeit that kind of stuff. Can't counterfeit this kind of love because it goes outside human parameters. That's what he's talking about. This is how we should love one another. And you know what? It just shouldn't be about us either. That is how the world is going to know we're his disciples, if we love one another that much. But you're supposed to love those outside as much too, because Jesus Christ's love was not selfish. You got something very special. You do have the potential, if you live a life of faith and obedience to him, of eternal life. If you deny our Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have that opportunity. Oh, everybody goes to heaven. It's all just different doors. Unfortunately, that's not what Jesus Christ says. He actually brings it up in this gospel passage. When he starts to tell this to his apostles, he says, I said to the Jews, I go away and you will seek me and die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come, period. You will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. And he's not talking about a group of ethnic people. That would be ridiculous because our Lord Jesus Christ was a Jew. His Blessed Virgin Mother was a Jew. All his friends were Jews. All right, so he's not talking about ethnic people. He is talking about people who deny him. And people who deny him will die in their sin, and where he is, they cannot come. They could talk to their blue in the face about going to a better place. They could talk their blue in the face about, I'm going to heaven because I'm a monotheist. Wrong. Wrong. If you deny Jesus Christ, you cannot go to heaven. His words, not mine. But for those people who believe in him, people who embrace him, he says, in my Father's house there are many rooms, and I go to a prayer place for you. I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Look what he does for his people. He not only goes to prepare a place for you and then wait to see if you're a good boy or a good girl, and then you might get there. He says, I come to prepare a place for you, and I will come and get you and bring you there. Those are people who embrace our Lord Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, through whom no one gets to the Father. That's the gospel message. And we cannot be selfish for what we're going to get. We read today in the second reading today, this new heavens and the new earth, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more sickness, no more death. You cannot be selfish with that. He wasn't selfish for you. If you love one another as he loved you, you will not be selfish with what you are going to receive. You cannot be. We all want to receive that. Like I said, that is our ulterior motive for being here. Are you going to be obedient to the commandment? Are you going to love one another as he loved you? Are you going to glorify the Father the way he did through his obedience? Are you going to inherit this new heavens and new earth? You will if you love as he loved you, in the Father and its Son.